And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to the first 2025 edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Great to be with you. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. And look, I hope that this year proves to be the greatest year of your life with many, many more to come. I wanted to get that out of the way immediately because obviously this year has started off with a very tragic event in our country. But look, I'm still very, very hopeful that this is going to be one of the greatest years we've ever experienced, no matter what the devil is trying to do. And of course, I'm referring to what happened in New Orleans at about 3:15 a.m. on New Year's Day. As people were out around Bourbon Street celebrating the new year, a vicious, wicked terrorist decided that he was going to use the opportunity. I probably didn't decide then, but use the opportunity to kill as many people as possible. 15 dead, 30 or more injured. We don't know exactly what the status of the injured is as yet, but we know that over 30 people were injured, and we know that there are 15 dead. I think that that 15 includes the perpetrator. So actually 14 innocent civilians dead would be the accurate number. There's a lot to say about this, folks, a lot to say about it. But the first thing we must say is for all of the dead, for their families, for all of the wounded, the injured, their families, for the police officers, the firefighters, the first responders, the FBI agents who are investigating this, for all these people, we are praying for all of them, praying for strength and comfort for the families of those who were killed, praying for healing power and comfort and the very best medical care for all those people in hospitals around New Orleans right now who are injured, and praying that our police officers, our brave first responders, would be protected and covered. And we particularly want to thank those two brave police officers who actually engaged in what was almost hand-to-hand combat, but it was a close-quarter shootout with the terrorist. Both of them were shot, and they killed him. Thank God. I believe they're being treated right now. I don't know how serious their injuries are, but anytime you're shot in close quarters like that, anytime you're shot, period, it's very, very serious. But we just thank God for them. Another reminder to us that while the left is running around telling us how bad police officers are and how racist they are and this, that, and the other, and these are people who put their lives on the line for us every single day. And this is just another instance of them being willing to sacrifice themselves in behalf of innocent, law-abiding citizens. God bless them. And we want them to know we love them and we support them. And that extends, by the way, to the entire law enforcement community out there. I have a problem a lot of times with the leadership, but the rank and file people are out there really trying to do their jobs with integrity. They deserve our support and our commendation. The upper echelons sometimes are so terribly off that it is hard not to ascribe to their incompetence or their ideological predisposition to ascribe that to the rank and file. But I think most rank and file law enforcement officers, whether it's police departments or it's the FBI, they're just trying to do their job, just trying to serve others, and God bless them for it. And so, for example, the agent in charge said first thing in the first press conference, this was not an act of terror. Wrong. I don't even understand how you get that so wrong, because the man had an ISIS decal on his rear bumper or his whatever that thing is you use to tow things on your car, but he had something stuck on the back of his car for ISIS. He had ISIS literature with him. The man clearly was an Islamic terrorist. And for her to say this was not an act of terrorism, I don't understand it. People are already saying, you know, maybe she's just a DEI appointment and, you know, just a person of incompetence who was just chosen because she happens to be a black woman. You know, I thought it was interesting. The first two people who spoke at the original press conference were two black women, the mayor and the head of the FBI. And I have no problem with that if they are competent at what they are doing, if they are chosen because of their merit, not because of their race and their gender. And sadly, given the left's DEI obsession, the question, sadly, has to be raised. And then, you know, when you come out, and some people have said basically she didn't speak proper English even when she did it. And when you come out and you make that kind of statement and it's wrong, and then you don't even use proper English to say it, it does raise questions. I'll leave it at that for now. I will leave it at that. I'm concerned about the people of New Orleans and the people who are going to be attending the Sugar Bowl, the people who are coming later this month for the Super Bowl. I'm concerned about them, their safety, their security, them being protected. And the last thing in the world we need are incompetence put in place because of race and gender or some other immutable characteristic that has nothing to do with their ability or their character. That's the last thing in the world we need. But, you know, the FBI, which I used to have immense respect for the FBI, but the FBI, sadly, has been diminished in their reputation because they seem to be much more committed to an ideological agenda than to actual law enforcement. I mean, so for example, the amount of resources the FBI poured into the J6 investigation, apparently just untold resources, the highest technological mechanisms available to them were used to track down every person who attended Donald Trump's speech. They bought into it's an insurrection and these are the most terrible people in the world. I mean, because look, basically we've been told, right? The biggest problem America faces domestically are white supremacists, Catholics who attend Latin Mass, conservatives who identify as constitutional conservatives, Tea Party people, of course, you know, people who've been in the military. Oh, let's not forget people who show up to protest the gender ideology being forced on their children in schools. They're also dangerous people that need to be investigated. But you know what's not on that list? Islamic terror. And by the way, underscore that statement, because I have yet to hear anyone other than myself, anyone in public, call this Islamic terror. And that's what it is, folks. It's Islamic terror. But, you know, I don't know. I have to attribute this to the poisonous influence of Barack Obama, who lectured the country constantly about all the contributions Islam has made and all the wonderful things Islam has done, and don't forget Christianity did the Crusades. And I mean, I don't know whether the man is a Muslim. He says he's a Christian. He's not a Christian, clearly. I don't know whether he's a Muslim, but I know one thing. He certainly has some very, very deep Muslim sensibilities because he never failed to use a moment to defend. He defended Islam more vigorously than he defended America. Now, let's just put it out there because that's the truth. Rhetorically speaking, he defended Islam more vigorously than he defended America. And he never defended Christianity. I mean, in fact, he lectured the world about America not being a Christian country. So, but at any rate, so now it seems to me that even some conservatives have brought into this idea, let's not call it Islamic terror. Well, it's Islamic terror. And let me just say this for the record, folks, and just get it out of the way. Islam is an ancient, violent, religious cult. Muhammad believed that you could spread Islam by the edge of the sword. He was a violent warrior who was aggressive and bloodthirsty and was willing to kill all those he saw as enemies of Islam. Now, that's the true tradition of Islam, which means that it is a petri dish. It is an incubator for violent jihadist terrorist activity. Now, let's just tell the truth about this and not mealy mouth it, because that's the way it is, folks. But we've been lectured even by the likes of George Bush too. Islam is a peaceful religion. That's a lie. Islam is not a peaceful religion. Now, let me hasten to add, of course there are peaceful Muslims. Of course there are Muslims who are not interested in terrorism. I believe that. I've got members of my family who are Muslims. I love them. Doesn't change the fact that Islam is still wrong. But they're not out trying to commit acts of terror. So, you know, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. But the left always convinces you that if you acknowledge the truth about any particular thing, somehow you are smearing everybody that might be associated with that thing. So if you acknowledge the truth about Islam, you are Islamophobic because you are smearing all Muslims. No, I'm not. And, you know, I'm convinced of this, folks. Just as, you know, the left would tell us that being aggressively committed to securing our borders against illegal immigration was anti-Hispanic and Hispanics would hate you for it and they will never vote for those people who support that. Well, Donald Trump just proved them wrong. He is the most aggressive president on securing the border we perhaps ever had in the history of our country. And yet, Hispanics voted for him in overwhelmingly increased numbers since his last administration. In fact, I don't think he won the majority of Hispanics, but I know he got close and he increased his numbers significantly. That means Hispanics understand the difference between opposing illegal immigration and opposing Hispanics. And they know that illegal immigration is not good for them and their families any more than it's good for anybody else. They got it. They understood it. It's not anti-Hispanic. And so saying what I'm saying about Islam does not mean I'm against every Muslim. And the Muslims who embrace American values, who embrace the Constitution, who embrace living with their neighbors in peace, those Muslims who showed up to say, you are not going to teach my child that they were born in the wrong body and they're the wrong gender. God bless them. They're not terrorists. We can work with them. We see them as individuals. But the left would try to convince you that you can't make an honest assessment of Islam without smearing every Muslim. Because I would hope Muslims would come to the same conclusion that Hispanics have come to, which is, you know what? I'm against Islamic terror, and I want politicians to be willing to call it out because it is bad for me and my family and for my country and for my community, just as well as it's bad for any non-Muslim. I believe Muslims, as human beings, as intelligent human beings, will have the maturity to understand that opposing Islamic terror and calling Islam out for the fact that it produces these terrorists because of its history and its background is not the same as smearing every Muslim, because I would hasten to say most Muslims do not live by the error, by the ethic of terror. And thank God for it. But these mealy-mouthed, weak-kneed, cowardly politicians who are so busy trying to collect whatever money they can get out of the Muslim community and so busy trying to make sure they get as many Muslim votes as they can will basically compromise the truth in order to gain the power that they want. And that's Republican and Democrat, by the way. It's time to stop that nonsense. It really is. We need to tell the truth. As George Washington said, what we must do is hold up a standard to which good and honest people can repair. The rest is in the hands of God. Not lie to people because we want their vote. Or fudge the truth because we want their money. So let's just deal with it for what it is. Instead of the FBI and the Justice Department focusing all their attention on J6, on all of these so-called dangerous white supremacists, and of course, I am against white supremacy or any racial supremacy. I'm in favor of meritocracy. So don't get me wrong. I'm against all of that. But the FBI obsessing over that and over Catholics who attend Latin Mass and over people who identify themselves as constitutional conservatives and over, I mean, you name it. People who go to school board meetings and protest all this gender insanity, they need to be investigated. They are a threat to our democracy. Well, now here's a real threat, Islamic terror. According to one report, by the way, a report, believe it or not, that was announced on the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel, MSNBC. I never thought I'd agree with anybody who ever comes on MSNBC, but Christopher O'Leary, who is now the Senior Vice President for Global Operations at the Sufan Group, and by the way, he was Director of Hostage Rescue and Recovery for the Biden administration, said Al-Qaeda and ISIS are stronger now than they've ever been. He said the U.S. government has, quote, the U.S. government has pivoted a lot of its attention and resources and authorities away from it. If we continue to try to just bury our heads in the sand and hope the boogeyman's going to go away, these are the things that will start happening again. Now, I probably don't agree with this guy about anything, but he's at least being honest about the threat that we face and being honest about the fact that the government has turned its attention away from this threat for a lot of, in what in my view, are imagined threats based upon their ideological predispositions. I think that's why the FBI agent in charge at the press conference said, this is not an act of terror. I don't think that was based on facts. I think that was based on just the visceral desire to protect Islam. You know, one of the hints of this, and you watch this. I hope we never have another attack. I hope that Trump comes in and really just knuckles down on these people and makes it very, very difficult, close to impossible for them to effect a terror attack on America. But then when they do it, they receive the full force of the law coming down on them like a ton of bricks. Biden's busy negotiating to send people out of Guantanamo Bay to set them free. I trust Trump will throw the book at every Islamic terrorists we can get our hands on, lock them up, and throw away the key. because these people are evil, they're wicked, and they don't deserve to see the light of day. But he's predicting there's going to be more of this. And he said that at 9/11, Al-Qaeda had 500 members. And most of them were in Afghanistan, which is why we went into Afghanistan. He said, now ISIS grew out of Al-Qaeda. Said, now ISIS has 40,000 members. He said, so anybody who thinks that Islamic terror is behind us, I'm calling it Islamic terror. He didn't use that phrase, but we need to, because that's what it is. Anybody who thinks that Islamic terrorism is behind us, he said, is really naive. Is really naive. He said, this is a generational fight, and it's not going away anytime soon. Now, that's somebody from the Biden administration, folks. And you got these people on the media who just won't tell it like a T.I.T. is. I am shocked that this ends up being said on MSNBC. I'm assuming the commentator just sat there with her mouth dropped open, thinking, how did I ever make the mistake of bringing this person on? You know, we're not here to tell people the truth. We're here to lie to them so that we can advance our agenda. Well, God bless him for, I don't know what he did in the Biden administration. I mean, how effective he was or how truthful he was in the Biden administration. But I certainly appreciate the fact that he's telling the truth about this right now. Now, here's the first hint, by the way, the first hint that this was Islamic terror. And you watch this in the future and you tell me if I'm not right about this, if you don't think I'm right about this. I wait to see how long they're going to take to release the name of the perpetrator. And I'll tell you, my observation has been, I can't prove this by, you know, data points that I've assembled, but it's my observation over the years since political correctness came in. Really, Obama kind of introduced that, but O'Biden, that's a Freudian slip. But Bush kind of started that process when he said, well, Islam is a peaceful religion. Obama obviously took it to the nth degree. But when it takes them a long time to announce the name of the person, it is because they're trying to figure out how to spin it away from Islamic terror. They knew from the very beginning that this guy's name was Shamsuddin Jabbar. They knew. They knew that he had some kind of ISIS icon on his towing mechanism on the back of his car. They knew that he had ISIS literature in his car. But they didn't want the American people to know that. Now, I don't know whether he was born with that name or he changed his name. He was apparently born in America. He looks Arabic, kind of Afro-Arabic, based on the pictures I've seen. So, I mean, we don't know. I haven't guarded the facts on that yet. But what I do know is there is a concerted effort in the government and the deep state to try to lull the American people to sleep into believing that Islamic terror is no longer a problem for us. That no, that's not the problem. The problem is these mothers who go to school board meetings to protest their children having their gender altered and being told that they were born in the wrong gender and that their parents were only guessing when they guessed them to be a boy or a girl. This stuff is just, it's insane. But those parents, they're the ones the FBI needs to be watching. Well, Shamsuddin Jabbar plots to kill Americans. And this is the other thing I'm waiting to hear. Was he already on the radar? Was somebody ignoring the whole situation? You know, I used to have a lot of respect for the FBI. I mean, a lot. And I still have respect for what I believe are most rank and file FBI agents. But I tell you, the agency itself, I don't trust anymore. I really don't. And I trust that Donald Trump will get in there and clean the whole thing up. Cash Patel, I believe, is his appointment for the FBI director, that he will get in there and really clean that situation up and turn the FBI once again into a premier law enforcement agency without reference to any ideological perspective. I mean, they ought to be looking at this stuff and trying to figure out where these cells are. Now, we're getting mixed messages about whether in fact this was an effort engaged in by more than one person. At first, we were told, well, let's put it this way. Earlier, we were told it was, and earlier in the day, we were told it was, and then later in the day, well, actually, it wasn't until Thursday, January 2nd, I heard the police chief kind of back off that. Well, we're not sure there are accomplices. We're not sure. We're looking at persons of interest. I mean, just please get it straight. And if you don't have it straight, can you just shut up and say, we just don't know yet? Now, I waited until yesterday evening, really, to make any statements. I've made statements on my TikTok page on Instagram because I simply didn't want to go out there with a bunch of false information, because that's what you do when you jump quickly, because they're giving out false information. I don't know whether it's intentional or not, but they're often giving out false information. But what if I jumped out there and said, well, at least we know, folks, this is not a terrorist attack because the FBI agent in charge told us that. I just as wrong as you could be. And she was just as wrong as she could be. Why did she even say that? And then they put out a statement, a written statement, saying it was a terrorist attack, blah, 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 blah. You know, you would have thought she would come out. I apologize. I got wrong information. I apologize for transmitting that to you. Here's the correct information, verified. Boom. Okay, I can respect you for that. But instead, they just kind of go into their little shell and pretend that they never said anything wrong, and I hope the American people will forget it. It's despicable is what it really is. It's despicable. So we'll see where else this goes and what happens. Oh, and by the way, of course, we also have the Las Vegas event where this electric car, a Tesla, one of Elon Musk's creations, blew up. Kill the driver. And there's some speculation. Again, I don't know, so I'm not saying. There's some speculation that the closeness to the New Orleans attack may indicate that there's some coordination here. We don't know that yet. We shall see. What I do know is this. While Al-Qaeda and ISIS have grown exponentially under the Biden administration, we have been bringing people into our country across the border who are known to be on the terrorist watch list. I say, well, this guy was born in America. Yeah, true. But who influenced him? What influenced him? I mean, we have to assume that these people come into our country, they're going to find Muslims already in our country that they think are weak-minded enough to be influenced by them and radicalize them and turn them into terrorists. They're the perfect people to use, because then you can say, oh, well, this person was born in America. This person was an American citizen. And look at the great jihadi work he did. It's a recruitment tool for them. So I trust that President Trump is going to come in and secure that border and hunt down these people who are on the terrorist watch list and lock them up As far as I'm concerned, send them to Guantanamo Bay and throw away the key. I mean, Biden is busy trying to negotiate to set these people free. What we ought to be doing is holding them in perpetuity. Because as far as I'm concerned, they are enemy combatants. They are not criminals. See, Barack Obama came in and tried to make them all, they're all criminals, give them a trial, you know, that way they do some time and we cut them loose. So you're going to kill some more people. And presumably some more Americans. No, they're enemy combatants. And since we now know that the war is still on, the war against terror is still on, because they are still fighting, we hold them until the war is over. Period. And we got to stop playing games with this stuff. Let me mention a couple of other things before I go. This is the month. Of course, we're going to have the March for Life at the end of this month. But this is interesting. An organization that tracks this information has determined that the leading cause of death worldwide, it's called the Worldometer, the leading cause of death worldwide, guess what it is? Yeah, killing of unborn babies. The world killed 45,129,912 unborn babies in 2024. And I wondered, does that include the babies that were killed by at-home chemical abortions, as they call them? I wonder, does that include that number? Is that included in that number? Because if it's not, then the number's higher. But at least 45,129,912 babies murdered in 2024. By the way, rivaled only by the number of people who died of AIDS, believe it or not, worldwide. 46 million people worldwide died of AIDS. And you know, I see these two as related because they both speak to the moral decay of the world. They both speak to degeneracy. You kill unborn children as a way of getting out of the responsibility for your own actions. And people are dying as a result of their own sexual promiscuity. The disease brought to us by the homosexual community, and don't censor me for it because it's true, started in the bathhouses of San Francisco in our country, and of course, we know began in the homosexual community. We know that. It spread, yes, but that's where it started. 46 million people died from it in 2024. You know what the word of God says? It says in Romans chapter 1, it says they worked in themselves the penalty that was due. That's what Romans chapter 1 says. Don't censor me. Just read the Bible. Romans chapter 1 says they worked in themselves the penalty that was due. And so that's 90 million people dead as a result of worldwide immorality. Now just think about that. Worldwide immorality, people dying as a result of killing unborn babies and as a result of sexual promiscuity. Oh, here we go. It's Romans chapter 1, it's verse 27. It says, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. That's Romans 1, 27. Don't censor Bishop Jackson. Just deal with that. That's what the Bible teaches. 46 million dead of HIV/AIDS. And we know that's not the result of massive blood transfusions. That's a result of sexual promiscuity. So I just want to get those two points out there because they're important. As we are fighting to restore Judeo-Christian values and principles, you know, let me add this as I prepare to close out. You know, I was reading in my devotions, you know, sometimes when you're just reading in your devotions, just, and I hope all of you do that. And something just jumps out at you. I've read the Bible through, oh my goodness, I'm just going to guess in the 48 years I've been walking with the Lord, I'm going to guess I probably read the Bible. I haven't read it through every single year of my life. So let me just give you a lowball estimate. I probably read the Bible through about 30 times. Because in some years I read the Bible twice in one year. So, but I'm going to lowball it. Say I've read the Bible through and through, say about 30 times. It might be a little bit more than that. So there's no scripture I read that I've never seen before. But they continue to jump out at you like you've never seen them before. And I was reading what the Word of God says in John chapter 8 about the Son setting us free. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And it goes down to the 34th verse. It says, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And what jumped out at me that I'd never really thought about before is it doesn't say whoever sins is a slave of sin. It says whoever commits sin. And that word commit adds an additional layer to it. In other words, it means whoever, in fact, one of the definitions of the word is to celebrate. But it means whoever is committed to sin. Whoever readies themselves, prepares themselves, renders themselves available. In other words, whoever is, they are willfully and intentionally living a life of sin. Whoever commits sin, not whoever sins. I can sin, you can sin. We can all make mistakes. That's one of the words, one of the Greek words for sin is to miss the mark. We can all miss the mark in a variety of ways. But this says whoever commits sin. See, the difference between the born-again believer who has been indwelt by the mighty Spirit of God and the rest of the world is, while we can sin, we're no longer committed to sin. We're committed to righteousness. That doesn't mean we're perfect, no, by any stretch of the imagination. But our commitment is to live according to God's precepts, not according to the world's. So I don't oppose killing unborn babies because I got some issue with women and their reproductive rights, all this nonsense at the left. No, I'm opposed to it because it's sin. And we're supposed to hate sin. It is the taking of an innocent life. It's sin. I'm not opposed to homosexuality because I hate homosexuals. I don't. I love them. They're human beings. God loves them. God wants them. He wants to save them. He wants to deliver them. I'm opposed to it because it's sin. And God hates sin. And we're supposed to hate sin. In fact, I recommend you to my sermon, not the last sermon of the year, but the sermon I preached. You can find it on my Facebook page. I think you can find it on our websites as well. But it's the sermon I preached on the 22nd of December. I preached a three-part series called Christmas, A Season of Revelation. And I talked about, in that second message on the 22nd of December, I talked about God reconciling his hatred for sin with his love for mankind. And I said the way God did that was to send a redeemer. I said God's justice demanded an outlet for his wrath. God's love demanded an entrance for his mercy. And his wrath was poured out on Jesus Christ. That's what the cross was all about. That's what Psalm 22, I believe, is all about. I think it's Psalm 22, might be Psalm 19, but that says, "You shall not leave his soul in hell, nor suffer your Holy One to see corruption." He died on the cross, one of the most ignominious deaths. In fact, I was reading in Luke the other day, and I'd forgotten about this too. You know, when they were beating Jesus, they blindfolded him. You know what it is to be blindfolded and have blows coming at you that you can't even see? If you can see a blow coming at you, you can flinch, you can flex, you can move away from it, you can lessen its impact. But when you're blindfolded and you can't see the blows coming at you, every single blow has maximum impact. Just one little thing. All that was inflicted upon him is what you and I deserved because of our conjunction with Satan and our sin. But Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Now, I said all that to simply say, I don't bring these things up, 45 million abortions, 46 million dead of AIDS worldwide. I don't bring these things up because I judge these people and I think I'm better than these people and I hate these people. No, I bring them up because I love them. The people who are inflicting this on themselves and on others. And God loves them, but he hates the sin. And our attitude is supposed to be the same. We love them with a passion, but we hate the sin with equal passion. And the one who reconciled those two competing principles is Jesus Christ. He's what the world needs, folks. Let's face it. The reason why Islamic terrorists think that they are accomplishing something by killing innocent people is because they are serving a pagan god, not the true and the living and the loving God who revealed himself through our Lord Jesus Christ, but they're serving a pagan god that they call Allah, and that pagan deity that they wrongfully worship tells them to go out and kill people. They need the truth. And see, that's why I'm going to continue to call it Islamic terror, because I want people to understand that's what Islam produces. Because the lie always produces death and destruction. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What did Jesus say is his chief raison d'etre? What did Jesus say is his stock in trade? Lies. He said he's a liar and he's the father of lies. And when he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own. And when you're following a lie, it can't lead anywhere but to death and destruction. For the people who are following it and for the people they impact. So, once again, praise God for a tremendous victory in November's election to help turn our government back in the right direction as the servant rather than the master of the American people, and as a representative of our Judeo-Christian value system, our constitutional limitations on the role of government, and free market principles. Praise God for that. But folks, the culture needs spiritual redemption. And that's up to you and me. That's why I praise God for American Family Radio, because that's what we need. We need the truth to go out without compromise, without apology, without dilution. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God, because it's the truth that liberates, not Marxism, but the truth. Our founding fathers had the only revolution I know of in human history that actually liberated people rather than putting people under greater bondage. Why? Because they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It was the truth that allowed them to set people free. So, we've got some challenges in 2025, no doubt. Praise God that we should have a government that is with us rather than against us. For us rather than opposing us. But, we have a job to do that the government simply can't do. And that's to be salt and light in this lost and dying world. To love truth and hate falsehood, no matter what the consequences. Look, God bless each and every one of you. I've got to go, but I've enjoyed every moment of it. I hope it's been a blessing and an encouragement and an inspiration to you. Look, things have not changed in terms of what we have to do, and you know exactly what that is. You've got to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.